And as you know, I've been doing a series on the book of Revelations, the seven churches. And now we're in the last one. And I titled my message, The Church of Laodicea, When We Think We Are Fine. The Church of Laodicea, When We Think We Are Fine. As we conclude this series on the seven churches, I want to begin with a question. What if one of the greatest spiritual dangers is not knowing that something is wrong, but being convinced that everything is fine? Another way to ask the question, what if one of our greatest spiritual dangers is not knowing that something is wrong, but losing the ability to recognize the error? And I ask that question because that was a problem in Laodicea. These were not people who thought they had abandoned God, the congregation there. They did not see themselves as spiritually poor. Quite the opposite. They believed that they were doing well, but Christ saw them differently. And that makes Laodicea's message particularly sobering for us today. To understand Christ's message, we first need to understand something about the city itself. Laodicea was located in Asia Minor, in what is today Turkey. It was part of a prosperous region that included the nearby cities of Colossae and Hierapolis. And Laodicea was wealthy. As a matter of fact, it was very wealthy. It was a center of banking and commerce. They had also were also famous for their textile industry, particularly its wool and clothing. And it was associated with medicine, including treatments for the eyes. So think about this, money, clothing, medicine. Money, clothing, medicine. Those three things will become very important when we hear the message, what Christ says to this particular church. But perhaps nothing illustrates Laodicea's attitude better than what happened after a major earthquake in AD 60. We should not be confused by my previous message of earthquake for the Church of Philadelphia and Sardis, which was back in AD 17. This happened in AD 60. The earthquake severely damaged the city. Normally, when a Roman city suffers such a catastrophe, it could look to Rome for financial assistance. But not Laodicea. They were prosperous. They had the finances to be able to reconstruct the city again. And that attitude could pretty much reflect what summarized the attitude of the people who lived in the city, and also in the church. We have what we need. We can take care of ourselves. And apparently, brethren, like I said, something of that same attitude had entered the church. We have what we need. We can take care of ourselves. There was, however, something Laodicea did not have. It did not have the good local water supply, like, for instance, in nearby Hierapolis, that were known for their hot waters, or Colossae, which was associated with refreshing cool water. But the water region Laodicea was neither pleasantly hot nor refreshingly cold. It was lukewarm. And now, listen to the language Jesus uses in Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16. So if you turn to Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16, he says the following, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one of them or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. The people of Laodicea understood exactly what Christ was talking about. They knew lukewarm water. Christ took something familiar from their everyday lives and used it to describe their spiritual condition. And notice that Christ does not merely say that he would prefer them to improve a little. His reaction to their condition is severe. Their spiritual condition was unacceptable to him. But why? What exactly went wrong? I think we find the answer in the next verse. If you turn to verse The following verse, it reads, and to me, this is perhaps the most sobering verse in the entire message, which is Revelation 3:17. You say, and notice, you say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth to do and do not need a thing. Notice those words again. You say, and it goes back to that attitude that they had after the earthquake. We don't need of anyone, and we can take care of ourselves. But this is what Christ says. But you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Think about that. They didn't know. They were clueless. They were unaware that there was a problem. Their perception of themselves and Christ's perception of them was almost completely opposites. They said, we are rich. Christ says, you are poor. They thought they could see. Christ says, you're blind. They thought they were properly clothed. Christ says, you're naked. They thought, we don't need anything. Christ essentially told them, you didn't even understand how much you need and what you need. Brethren, that is spiritual self-deception. And that should cause every one of us to stop and think, because it raises a very uncomfortable question. Is it possible for us to think that we're spiritually doing well when Christ sees something very different? Apparently, the answer is yes. And this is where Laodicea presents such a remarkable contrast with the church we examined previously. The last time I talked about the same in churches, and this is Philadelphia. Christ told Philadelphia, I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Philadelphia had little strength. Laodicea had wealth. Philadelphia apparently knew its limitations. Laodicea said, I do not need a thing. Philadelphia was not praised because it was powerful. It was praised because it was faithful. As we discussed previously, Laodicea was wealthy. Philadelphia was weak. Laodicea thought it needed nothing. Philadelphia knew its dependence on God. Laodicea was rebuked. Philadelphia was praised. One church looked successful. The other was successful. And that teaches us something important. We cannot measure spiritual success the same way the world measures success. Now remember what Laodicea was famous for. Money, clothing, and medicine associated with the eyes. Now turn to Revelation 3:18 and see what Christ tells them, tells his congregation. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich. Imagine saying that in a wealthy banking city. You think you're rich? Christ says, then buy gold from me. He continues, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness. Imagine saying that in a city famous for producing clothing. You make clothing for others, but spiritually you are naked. And then, and salt to put in your eyes so you can see. Imagine saying that in a city associated with eye treatment. They could treat physical eyes, but they could not see themselves. Brethren, I think Christ's message would have been impossible for the Laodiceans to misunderstand. Everything their city took pride in, Christ turned into a spiritual lesson. You have money, but you need my gold. You have clothing, but you need my garments. You have medicine for the eyes, but you need me to help you see. In other words, the things you possess cannot give you what you need most. And that lesson is just relevant today. We can possess knowledge. We can know doctrine. We can have been in the church for decades. We can understand prophecy. We can observe the Sabbath and holy days. We can serve. We can attend services every week. And those things matter. But none of them gives us permission to stop examining ourselves. We must never reach the point spiritually where we say, I do not need a thing. But there is something very important that we must not miss. Christ does not give up on Laodicea. In fact, notice what he says in Revelation 3:19. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Why is Christ speaking so strongly to them? Because he loves them. The rebuke is not evidence that Christ has abandoned Laodicea. The rebuke is evidence that he wants Laodicea to change. And he tells them exactly what to do. Be earnest. Repent. So the message of Laodicea is not, you have failed, it's over. The message is, recognize your condition, see what you have not been seen, repent, and become zealous again. There's still time to change. And then Christ gives one of the best known invitations in the New Testament. We find it in Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. But think about something we sometimes might overlook. He is talking to the church. This is not primarily a message addressed to atheists. It is not addressed to pagans. Christ is speaking to people who consider themselves his followers. And yet the picture he gives us is extraordinary. Christ is outside the door. And he's knocking. He continues, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Notice something else. Christ does not force the door open. He knocks. The person inside must hear him. The person inside must respond. The person inside must open the door. And that leaves us with another question. Can we be religious and still leave Christ standing outside? Apparently, yes. We can know about Christ without allowing Christ to govern every part of our lives. We can become comfortable. We can become complacent. We can stop listening. And perhaps the most dangerous point when we no longer realize that this has happened is that we keep that door closed. But Laodicea does not end with condemnation. It ends with extraordinary promise. Listen to Revelation 3:21. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Think about that. This church receives one of Christ's strongest rebukes, and yet Christ offers them one of the most extraordinary promises. You can repent, you can overcome, you can change. And if you do, Christ says that you can ultimately share in his kingdom and his rule. That tells us something very encouraging. Our present spiritual condition does not have to become our final spiritual condition. Laodicea could change, and so can we. Brethren, as we conclude, perhaps the question Laodicea leaves us with is not simply, am I hotter or am I cold? Perhaps a deeper question is, do I see myself as Christ sees me? Because the Laodiceans' greatest problem was not simply that something was wrong. They did not know something was wrong. They said, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, I do not need a thing. Christ says, you do not realize. Those may be four of the most sobering words in this passage. You do not realize. So we should ask God to help us see. Help us recognize where we have become comfortable. Help us recognize where we have become spiritually lukewarm. Help us recognize where knowledge has not become practice. And help us recognize where we have begun depending upon ourselves rather than in God. And when Christ shows us something that needs to change, let us not defend ourselves. Let us not say, I'm fine. Rather, let us listen. Let us repent. Let us change. In conclusion, throughout these seven churches, Christ has given his church powerful warnings and encouragement. Ephesus teaches not to lose our first love. Smyrna teaches us to remain faithful through suffering. Pergamon warns us against compromise. Thyatira warns us against tolerating false teaching. Sardis tells us, wake up. Philadelphia tells us, remain faithful. And finally, Laodicea tells us, don't assume you're spiritually fine simply because you think you are. Ask God to help you see yourself as he sees you. And if something needs changing, change it. Because Christ is still standing at the door. He is still knocking. And his promise is still available to those who hear his voice. Open the door, repent, and overcome. And so appropriately, Christ concludes not only his message to Laodicea, but his message to the seven churches with these words in Revelation 3:22. Whoever hears, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Brethren, let us make sure that we're listening.